perhaps one of the most famous explanations and understandings of the mindset which is found in the month of Elul is found in the Shlach HaKadosh understanding of a deeper meaning of the Pasuk in Amos of Aryeh Sha'ag Milo Yirah. When a lion roars, who is not afraid, who does not tremble? Explains the Shlach HaKadosh that the Rashi Tevot of Aryeh spell out the Aleph represents Elul, the Resh represents Rosh Hashanah, the Yud in Aryeh in lion represents Yom Kippur, and the He, the final letter in the word Aryeh of lion, spells Hoshana Rabbah. Explains the Shlach HaKadosh that there are certain times during the year which speak to a person. A person becomes aroused, a person becomes awakened. But he continues by saying, Aval b'tkufa hazot. But there are other times, particularly the ones we just mentioned, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah, we know, is the Yom Chatima Sadin, the day where the judgment is sealed. He says, these days, Sho'agim ba'otzmatam el Yehudi, they war in their power to every Jew. These four times, Eluheim ha'yisod v'abasis alav, Tibanev Tikonen Hashanakula, the entire foundation, the entire basis of the year is really established during these four periods of time. The way we respond to the roar of the lion, the way we respond to the reverberation that are found in this time, the spiritual callings of awakening in Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Hoshana Rabbah, that gives us a very clear direction of the way our year is going to be, the way we are going to chart the future course of the upcoming months. So the question that we need to ask, it's a question we've dealt with in every year when we're dealing with Elul, is what should we work on during Elul? What should our mindset be during this month, which is a month that it roars like a lion that's calling us to the call of tshuva? And like every year, the answer is really the same answer. The basic answer is whatever arouses you as an individual. Whatever calls you, whatever inspires you, whatever work you feel you need to do in your avodas Hashem, in your service of God, this is what to work on during the month of Elul. Having said that, still like to perhaps every year take a little bit of a different approach of things we can work on, things we can grow in during this month. The month, as we know, is characterized by that famous acronym that's found in the sixth chapter of Shir HaShirim, of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, Haro'eh B'Shoshanim, I, my beloved, and my beloved is mine, the Ani, the L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, spell out Elul. The month of love, the month of real attachment between ourselves and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, demands from us a different type of avoda, a different type of service, a different type of consciousness than perhaps we have the other 11 months during the year. The structure I'd like to work with today to perhaps try to achieve some level of connection in this Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li is found based on the 24th chapter of Psalms. Very famous chapter we read at the Shir Shal Yom on Sunday, and it's found throughout Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur liturgy. It's a chapter that deals with the description of the person who can ascend the mountain of God, the person who can stand in God's sanctuary, the one with clean hands and pure heart, who is not sworn in vain by my soul, not sworn deceitfully. And as the chapter goes on, as the kapitel goes on, is the it continues by saying, "Se'u sharim roshechem v'nasu pischei olam v'yavo melech hakavod." Very strange translation, very strange idiomatic phrase. But raise up your heads, O gates, and be uplifted, you everlasting entrances, so that the King of Glory may enter. And then the kapitel goes on by asking, "Well, who is this King of Glory? It's Hashem, the Mighty and Strong." And once again, we have this expression, raise up your heads, O gates, and raise up, you everlasting entrances, that the King of Glory may enter. Who is the King of Glory? Hashem, Master of Legions, he is the King of Glory, Selah. It's this description, where it's these two components, before the King of Glory may enter, before the Melech HaKavod may enter, there are two prerequisites we find in this chapter. The first is Se'ush Arim Roshechem, of raising up your heads, O gates. And the second is Vinasu Pitzchei Olam, and be uplifted, you everlasting entrances. And then Siva Shalom, quoting the Divrei Shmuel, says that this is, in essence, what Elul and Rosh Hashanah is all about. And he notes that the first letter of Sha'arim, of Roshechem, of the Hinasu and Pitzchei, if you switch around the letters, spell out the word Shofar. Found within here is almost hinted at that there's this concept of the Shofar of Rosh Hashanah, the Shofar we blow in Elul. The Shofar has the ability to raise up the gates. The Shofar has the ability to uplift the everlasting entrances. As the Divrei Shmuel that the Nesiva Shalom quotes, to what are we referring to, perhaps on a deeper level? What are these gates referring to? What are these entrances referring to? So explains the Divrei Shmuel, and I think this is really, to a certain degree, the core of this time of year. He explains, Ayidei HaShofar, through the Shofar, Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah, we conclude Elul as well, Meirim U'minaseh Sha'arei HaRosh. It uplifts the Sha'arei HaRosh, the gates of the head, and the Et Pitchei Olam, and the openings of the world, Hema Pitchei HaLei, these are the openings of our souls, HaHergeshim V'Atshukot, our feelings, our desires. And the Divrei Shmuel continues by saying, Vayidei Shemitaher Deotav V'Hergeshav, through purifying one's thoughts and one's feelings, Zoche, then one is able, Shiavo Melech HaKavod, that the King of Glory is able to enter, V'Toch Eveirav, within a person themselves. If we're able to uplift our mindset, uplift our thoughts, and we are able to open up the Pitzchei Olam, the openings of our soul, the openings of the world mindset within ourselves, so then we are able to have, when Rosh Hashanah comes, V'yavo Melech HaKavod, that the King of Glory is able to enter into our midst, enter into our very soul, enter into our very essence. And then ultimately we're able to fulfill, as the Divrei Shmuel concludes, what Rosh Hashanah is about, Shemamlich Kodesh Shebrichu, that we're able to anoint the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to coronate God as King, Al Mocho, on our minds, Libo, on our hearts, Ve'eveirav, and really on our entire being. Let's try to understand these two levels. The levels of the mindset to uplift the gates of the mind, and to open up the passions, the thoughts, the hergeshim, the feelings of the heart. As a point of introduction, the beautiful insight of the Leket, in the Leket Sichos Musar, the Slobodka Rosh Yeshiva, who notes that if we understand very clearly that Rosh Hashanah is the time that Kol Bayi Olam Ovrim Lefanav Kivnei Marom, that each and every person passes in front of God on Rosh Hashanah. And it's the time, as we call Rosh Hashanah, a day of Yom HaZikaron, a day of remembrance. Then it behooves us, says the Leket Sichos Musar, that we should prepare ourselves during this time to know exactly who is the person who's going to, who is the being who's going to judge us. If we understand that we are going to be remembered by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then would it not be appropriate that we bring into our mindset a remembrance of God? That we at least familiarize ourselves with who a Kadosh Baruch Hu is, what a Kadosh Baruch Hu means to us, that we are able to elicit within us a constant Zichron Hashem, a remembrance of God, of understanding how Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, how Kadosh Baruch Hu runs each and every person's life and all the details found within a person's life. As he continues by saying, if this is a time of year of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, that I am to my beloved and my beloved is to me, then we need to ask ourselves and to learn Be'iyun in depth, Mihu Hadod, who is this beloved person, Shelanu? who is this person that we trust so completely our entire spiritual and physical lives? If we understand, if we're able to recognize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Ya'aleh Zichroneinu Al Libeinu, then we'll constantly be remembering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in that way, we'll be able to prepare ourselves better for that meeting one-on-one with Hashem. Reminds me very much a Lahavdil level, not to compare the two, but the model is a very interesting model. A person who I know who was taking an exit exam at a certain university, and it was an oral exit exam. So the person asked the department, could you please tell me who are going to be the three professors giving this oral exam? What the individual did was go to the library and read up on all the material, the articles that these three professors had written. And that way, when they came to the oral exam, anytime a question was asked, they were able to say, oh, this reminds me of a very interesting article, and then just repeat back the different articles that these people had said, and the person passed with flying colors. In a certain respect, this is what we're talking about here, being able to prepare our mindset that we should know if we're going to be judged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, what is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does it mean, Ani L'Dodi, that I have a relationship with my beloved? What does this mean for my life? How can I bring out these feelings of closeness? Clearly, one way of doing this, one way of elevating Se'u Sha'arim Roshechem to prepare ourselves for this Yom HaZikaron, is what the Nesiv HaShalom brings down, according to the Rambam, who says that we know when the Rambam lists in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the book of mitzvos of commandments, what are the different mitzvos that are incumbent upon a person. Before the Rambam, Maimonides even lists what we call the mitzvos maisios, the mitzvos that have to do with action. The Rambam lists a whole slew of mitzvos, which are mitzvos hatluyos balev, mitzvos that are connected with our heart. For example, the mitzvah believing in God, that He is the creator, He is the one who controls the whole world, the mitzvah avas Hashem, of love of God, that we should be holy, holy ava, we should have a love sickness for God, the mitzvah standing in awe of God, the mitzvah praying to God, l'davka ba, to clinging to God. And in fact, the Sefer Chinuch notes that these are mitzvos which are a chiyuv tmidi, which are constantly incumbent upon a person, that a person should never lose sight of these mitzvos. These are mitzvos tmidios at all times. And explains to the Nesiv HaShalom, he says, why are these mitzvos so important? Why does the Rambam list these at the beginning of all the mitzvos? So he says, Manarahu achashpon. We can imagine what the cheshbon, what the accounting will be. Shiganim shoked al taral mitatei b'mitzvot b'chol minei chumrot. Take a person, for example, who is very careful in his Torah mitzvot. However, if his emuna is not complete, if his love for God, his awe of God, his dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not on the level that it's supposed to be, so then even if he's complete in all other areas, he's missing the foundations, he's missing the basis, and the whole structure is brought into question. The model that he uses is, if a person is all their limbs, all the organs in their bodies are functioning perfectly, but there's a mum, there's something missing, there's a defect in a person's heart, so he says, then can we say that the person is really 100% well? No. His whole life, his life is in danger. If a person's heart, if a person's basis of relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu is not complete, is not where it should be at, so even if a person expends a tremendous amount of energy in mitzvos in the practical realm, and don't get me wrong, the mitzvot in the practical realm are very important. We're not a religion that just believes in belief and belief is enough. No, we have to put that belief into practice. But what happens so often is we get so caught up in the practical side that we forget what it means to have a relationship. We forget what it means to connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and to have that intimacy and to have that closeness. It's a beautiful story that the Yalkut Lekach Tov brings down of a young boy that went to the Chazon Ish to speak to him, to ask advice from him. And the Chazon Ish turns to this young man and says to him the following. He says, have you ever wondered whether perhaps there are certain people in this world who you would think are real, complete in performance of Torah and mitzvot, and then one day they just leave it all, they throw it all off, and you say to yourself, well, how did this happen? How did this transition happen overnight, where here the person was leading an observant life and then suddenly is keeping nothing? Says the Chazon Ish to this young man, don't think it happened overnight. If a person is not going to constantly work on their emunah, on their faith, so then the foundations become eroded slowly and the whole thing collapses. And with that, the Chazon Ish ended the conversation. So the boy went home and he was very distressed. He said to himself, what did the Chazon Ish see in me that he's telling me this? And he couldn't sleep. And he spoke to friends about it and he said, what is it that the Chazon Ish said this to me? So one friend suggested, why don't you go back to the Chazon Ish and just ask him, what did he mean by this? And that's what the young man did. He traveled back to the Chazon Ish and he said, please explain yourself. So the Chazon Ish said, I'll tell you. He said, I'm not meaning anything at you particularly. I'm just giving you advice. And he says, and I quote now, Emunahi mehadvarim hatzrichim chizuk tmidi. Emuna, this relationship of belief in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is something that needs constant reinforcement. Im ein adam mechazeket emunato shegadal v'itchanech ba, if a person is not going to reinforce that emuna that he grew up with, that he was educated with, he holecha v'nechleshet, it automatically becomes weakened. Says the Chazon Ish, al kein adam chayav lechazek tamid et emunato. A person constantly has to work on this relationship of faith, of closeness with God. And only then can you ensure your Judaism properly. You have to live emunah chushit. You have to live a reality where you feel in your everyday life this emunah, this faith, this connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, Rav Dessler in Michtam Eliyahu echoes this idea. And he says that working on our emunah every single day, as the Chazon Ish says, l'chazek, to solidify, not to take it for granted. And this is so true. We have people who grow up in the yeshiva system, or perhaps come to Yiddishkeit a little bit later in life, and they work through their emunah, and they go through all perhaps these challenging problems and questions, and then that's it. They go on with their life, and they start performing the mitzvot, but they never re-examine, they never work on solidifying that base. They were taught to believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu at age 4 or 5, and that's it for life. Says the Chazon Ish, that is something that's not going to stay with a person. Explains Rav Dessler that this is part of the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, to believe in God. This first mitzvah, according to some at least, it's a mitzvah of recognizing a Kadosh Baruch Hu is God. He's quoting the Radbaz, the Michtav says, V'inyan ha'munah shikba uta b'libo u'b'nafsho tamid. You have to instill this within yourself at all times. Rav Dessler himself in Chelek Gimel offers a continuum of 5 steps, 5 ways of being able to work on emunah in our lives. I'd like to present here very briefly the first 2 stages of Rav Dessler. As we've spoken about many times in the past, it's impossible to take on large chunks in our life. If we're able to work on bite-sized pieces, so then we're able to accomplish and to grow. Perhaps in future years we can get to levels 3, 4, and 5. 5 is ultimate dveikus, ultimate clinging to God. I'd like to work on a little bit the first 2. On the first level, says Rav Dessler, there are really 2 components. The first level he calls the derech shel chinuch, the way of education, really the rote approach. And he says on the first aspect of the first level, one should involve oneself in emunah even on a very superficial level. Yargil tatzmo, one should accustom oneself lomar tamid b'chol hizdamnut, to say at every possible occasion, Baruch Hashem, thank you Hashem, Imirta Hashem, with the help of God, Bezrat Hashem, the help of God, if God wills it, V'kadome, and things like this. The first level is to be able to bring in God consciousness at all times of our life. And granted, it might be by rote. And sometimes we're frustrated. How are you, Baruch Hashem? We're not even thinking about the response. But at least we have this God consciousness that we're inculcating within our lives. So therefore, if we're going to say to a person, you know, I'd like to meet you tomorrow at 1 o'clock at this restaurant for lunch, so add in Emir Tashem with the help of God. And I'd like to help you with this project, Bezrat Hashem, with the help of God, if God wills it. These are the things that we should bring into our consciousness. These are the things that although they perhaps are by rote, at least we've made the emunah, this relationship, this connection with God, something concrete within our everyday mindset. The Mikhtav continues, perhaps a second level within this first rung, V'chein yitaktek l'kayem mitzvat tfilah, gami ma'adayim mitpalo b'li kavana, kevan sh'atfilah hi bitui ha'munah b'kadosh baruch hu. He says, even if we pray, and it's an external type of prayer, and we don't have the proper mindset in kavana, the fact that we pray, the fact that we address somebody else, or we address the Kadosh Baruch Hu with our problems, explaining where we are at in life, talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's an expression of emunah with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Mikhtav goes on by saying that really all mitzvot that we do, even if it's on a very superficial level, it still connects us, it still brings us into some relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If we can focus one moment on this concept of tefillah, this is really what the Chazon Ish explained to this young man. He said, Kol davar shincha zakuk lo, anything that you need, bakesh atom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ask it from God. That's how we come to emunah chushit, that we're feeling the samun at all levels. Which means that if you need a new pair of shoes, stand in the corner and say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I need a new pair of shoes. And this is really based on the Gemara Brachos that says, Darash bar kapra ezu parsha katana shakol gufei Torah tluyimba. What is one small selection in the Torah which really encompasses so much? So it's a famous pasuk of Bechol drachecha da'ehu v'hu yashir chosecha. And all your ways get to know, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mishlei tells us, and he will strengthen your path, your way. Whatever we're trying to accomplish in life, explains Rabbeinu Yonah on this pasuk, ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu for it. Whether it's a large thing, a small thing, Bechol drachecha da'ehu, in all of your ways. We're stuck in a traffic jam, we have a major meeting to go to, turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, I need your help, Hashem. I have this major meeting, I'm stuck in a traffic jam. Whatever it is that we should be able to bring in Kadosh Baruch Hu at all times within our life. At the end of Shabbat, after Havdalah, before we run, open the mail, clean up from Shabbos, sit and go through once a week and say, this is what I'm planning on doing this week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Help me out of Kadosh Baruch Hu in each of these things. At the beginning of our day, after we daven chakras in the morning, take a few minutes and go through our day and say, what are the things that I'm planning on doing today? Ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu for help. And throughout the day, have a living conversation with God. As you're going through your day, when the kids are fighting, when this is happening, when you have difficulty and deadline in work, whatever it is, turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu as part and parcel of your life. Bring God into your life and make it a reality that this is someone you can turn to and this is a being that you're able to get strength and direction from. That is emunah chushit. This is a wonderful thing to work on during Elul. The second aspect that Rav Dessler speaks about is the level of hisponanus, the level of introspection. And he speaks about this also on two levels. On the first level, Kishemit Bonen Hadam Bepilei Habriya, when you recognize the Pilei Habriya, the wonderful aspects of the creation, when you're able to look at the world around you and say, Ma Rabu Masecha Hashem, how wonderful, how wondrous are your works, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That you're able to see those beautiful butterflies, you're able to see those beautiful flowers and trees, and to stop and say, look at a wonderful world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. This is the second part of something to work on during Elul. The world that we see and we take for granted so often, famous idea we've mentioned in the past of Rav Dessler, that the word teva, nature, comes to the same word, litboa, to drown, where we can look at the world with the tired eyes of the habit, the mechanical, and take the world for granted. Or we can look at teva from the word matbea, which means an embossed coin, and see a higher reality. See, there's a stamped out image of a higher reality in this world, of being able to appreciate the beauty of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu within this world, to stop and to see that beauty. And in fact, the Nesiva Shalom, quoting a Hasidic Rebbe, offers such a beautiful explanation of a pasuk that we say during Hallel. The Torah reads, Einayim lahem v'lo yiru, reference to the idols, they have eyes, but they do not see. So explains the Nesiva Shalom on a different level, that this could be also a reference to ourselves as well. Sha'adam eino ro'eh klal be'inav et borei kol ha'olamim. We ourselves do not use our eyes to see the borei kol ha'olamim, the creator of the whole universe. It says if we have eyes, but we're not able to utilize the eyes properly. He continues by saying, Shikasher mishtamshim be'inayim lahem haynu la'atzmam. When we use our eyes only lahem, for ourselves, lo yiru et Hashem yisparach, we don't see God. When the einayim are lahem, when the eyes are only for us, when the eyes are only to see the four corners of our world, the lo yiru, then you can't see God. What is Elul about? Se'u sha'arim roshechem, lift up the gates of your head, lift up your eyes and be able to see. Se'u marom einechem u'ru mi bara'ela, pasuk in Yeshaya, lifting up our eyes and see who created the world. And says in the Nesiva Shalom, if umikol ha'chodesh ha'kadosh hazeh, if during this entire holy month, a person should be able from this whole month to try to access and really inculcate something from the greatness of God. Even if we accomplish something of something, from the greatness of God, this person will be a completely different person. Elul is to be able to step outside of ourselves and work on this relationship of Ani L'Dodi. And I think, in summation of this first level, what behooves us during this month of Se'u Sha'arim Rosheichem, of lifting up our heads, is on one level getting to know Ani L'Dodi, what is this Dod all about? Where am I at in my relationship to my beloved? Where are the feelings of belief, feelings of love, feelings of awe, feelings of clinging to God? Where am I at in those emotional experiences with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Am I able to bring Emunah, Hushid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu into my life on an everyday level? Am I able to step outside my small parameters of my world and be able to appreciate God in the world around me? On some level, to be awestruck in the month of Elul, to realize that there's a higher being that runs this world, and where I fit in on an infinitesimal level in this higher structure, this greater structure of this world. I think also perhaps we can add to this first level before moving on. It would be a wonderful idea just for the month of Elul that we would take upon ourselves that at the end of davening in the morning, to add, which is found in most Siddurim, the Art School Siddur has it, the 13 principles of faith, the animament, to read in Hebrew, in English, whatever language you're comfortable with. What are the principles of faith? What should I be believing in as a Jew? What are the fundamental aspects of what belief is all about in the Jewish mindset? Perhaps we can add on this level that there are wonderful books to read during the month of Elul, which solidifies my understanding that on a very simple level, and those concepts aren't so simple, to be able to work through what does it mean, the concept of God, why did God create the world, to come in touch with this higher realm of relationship. Perhaps we could suggest, as one suggestion, the very beautiful books of Rabbi Kaplan. They're short, they're able to, person can go through with tremendous ease, The Infinite Light, If You Were God. He has a book, The 13 Principles. In fact, these three books, as well as a book, perhaps something to read during the month of Elul, something to discuss with one's family. At least, as the Slabashka Rosh Yeshiva says, we should know the concept of a Kadosh Baruch Hu before walking into a judgment with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's level one. That's Se'u Marom, that's Se'u Sha'arim Moshechem, the lifting up of the head, our thought, our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The second part is V'inasu Pischei Olam, is to uplift the openings of the world, which we spoke about earlier, are the openings of our heart. And I think perhaps this is a much more difficult and challenging aspect of Elul. The opening of our heart is really the core of who we are as people. Before we can walk into a Rosh Hashanah where we're standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in judgment, we need to ask ourselves, well, who are we? What are we all about? Rav Wolbe and Ali Shur, it's an idea we mentioned a number of years ago in our Elul Shir, speaks about so beautifully, B'din omeid ha'adam lifnei baro legamrei levad b'vidut muchlate. When we stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu on the day of judgment, we're standing completely alone. We can't hide. We can't hide behind a spouse, behind children, behind work, whatever it may be. It's us and our real self that's standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We need to understand that we need to take responsibility for ourselves. And Rav Wolbe continues by saying, we could take a scenario of an individual who's asked by the Beis Din Shamala, by the court of above, about different mitzvot that this person has done. Why do you do this? Why do you do that? And he says, so often we could hear a person responding, I don't know, everyone else was doing it. This is the way I was brought up. That's why I'm doing it. My parents told me to do it this way. This whole society around me is doing this. So often we don't even bring ourselves in and who we are into that which we're doing. We don't have this consciousness, this understanding of that I'm davening because I want to daven because I want a relationship with God. I'm saying brachos because I want to connect with God, not because I was taught to say brachos and now I'm a robot and doing it for so many years. Life is about understanding who we are. Life is about, says Rav Wolbe, understanding the uniqueness of us as an individual and developing this unique relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin speaks about. Leficha chayav kol adam echad v'echad lomar b'shvili nivra ha'olam. That Adam HaRishon was created as one individual. A whole world wasn't created simultaneously. To teach us that every single person should say, for me the world was created. Where we need to recognize that there will be no person ever, of all the billions of people, from the beginning of time to the end of time, no person will ever be like me. I am unique, I am an individual. And when the Torah was given, as the Ramban points out, it's given the Lashon Yachid in the singular because it was given as a contractual relationship with every single person. Every person, as an individual, is obliged to keep the Torah. And we need to have a relationship as an individual. And that's why Rav Wolbe speaks about when the month of Elul, we learn more Musar, we learn more ethical works to become a better person. Not only is it sufficient to learn these ethical works, but one needs to spend time alone. He quotes the Sefer Charedim that says that in the month of Elul, a person should take some time to go out and meditate. As he says, Ach yom echad min ha-shavua, one day a week, should take some time, yitrachek mibnei adam, separate yourself from others. Vizbodein beno leven kono, and be able to connect yourself with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to connect your thoughts with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, in order to prepare oneself for this relationship with God. Rav Wolbe commenting on this says, Vizbodedut lechol apachot sha'a b'meshach ha-shavua, a person needs to at least take 1 hour every week during the month of Elul. We should do it really all year long. These are the small things that make a person a yachid, an individual, that a person's able as an individual to stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Elul's about. Elul's about meditation. Elul's about introspection, that a person should come in contact with self, with knowing who one is, with the ability to pause. And in fact, that's how Rabbi Rucham and Das Chochma Musar explains so beautifully the Gemara that says that the Hasidim Rishonim used to spend an hour before the Shemoneh Esrei and an hour after the Shemoneh Esrei in contemplation. So we normally understand it to mean as time to prepare yourself before davening and an hour to come down from davening. Rabbi Rucham explains it on a little bit of a different level, as he says that you need time to get to know self, time to really reconnect with self. Between davening and going out to your workday week, you need to spend a couple of minutes that you're able to know who you are, that moment of contemplation, that moment of meditation. And that's why there's this concept that after davening, people have a custom of saying the pasuk, Ach tzadikim yodu lishmecha, Yeshvu Yisharim et Panecha, also found in the Art School Siddur as well as many other Siddurim, and to sit for a moment saying that pasuk and to be able to reflect. Before I just leave davening, I'm able to pause, I'm able to meditate, I'm able to collect myself before going out into this world. The last concept I'd like to speak about today is to really ask ourselves, what should we be thinking about when we meditate? Sometimes the concept of just going out and meditating is too vague for people. Need something, what should I be thinking about? What should I be working on during this time of meditation? So I'd like to suggest, perhaps as a suggestion, a very beautiful insight from the book The Inner Circle, which speaks about a psychological insight and advice for older, frum singles in getting married and overcoming certain obstacles. So the author brings down in this book a concept which I think is very relevant for our lives, and particularly for Elul. It's a concept called the inner circle. And he says that there are certain voices and personalities that have really been great sources of inspiration that have influenced us. We ourselves know, Rabbi Soloveitchik brings us down in the essay in Family Redeemed, that we are not the exclusive property of ourselves. There are people who have contributed to the development of myself, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, my talents, my abilities, my skills, possibly more than myself. And that's what, in this book, The Inner Circle, that he's drawing on. That we need to understand that I am who I am, based on a composite of different people, experiences, and influences that have touched my life so deeply. We cannot define ourselves purely by our occupation, by what we do in life. There are zillions of doctors, lawyers, teachers, even zillions of mothers and fathers and whatever it may be. What makes us unique, what makes us special, are the attributes that we have within us. It's who we are that we bring to our different professions and different aspects of our lives. And so much of who we are is influenced by these people around us. Continuing in the book, The Inner Circle, they can be relationships with parents, grandparents, teachers, rabbis, friends, and so many others. They can be alive or many may have passed on. But the essence they leave within us are moments of exquisite clarity, related to feelings of trust, closeness, and emotional security. We permitted ourselves to love these people because they left us with a feeling of caring and acceptance. Their gifts created an internal guiding force as natural as breathing. And it continues by saying that the mere memory or impression of such a person anchors me in a delicate and sensitive state of my own best feeling and visceral qualities. It enables me to reach out beyond myself and give to others. Our inner circle creates a level of emotional honesty, chesed, and true warmth that one becomes a series of building blocks in any meaningful relationships. Perhaps what we should be thinking about during these times of meditation is to try to draw up a list of who is in our inner circle. Who are the people that have touched us so greatly, so deeply, that have made us the unique people that we are? And he says that these people and these experiences really allow us to come into contact with the deepest side of our humanity, where we can sense and express our deepest and most precious feelings. And I think if we're honest with ourselves and we're able to touch into those three or four people, those three or four events, and we're able to close our eyes and to bring back those events within our lives, and to touch those people, and we're able to see what they look like, and we are able to feel the surroundings of that experience or those experiences, we're able to touch into what are the things that I hold so dearly within myself that are really those character traits, those aspects of my personality that really define who I am. You know, it's interesting when you ask a young child at the age of 5, 6, what do you want to be when you grow up? So depending on the child and depending on the age, you'll hear a policeman, a fireman, whatever it may be. But if you listen closely, the question and the answer do not correlate. We don't ask the child, what do you want to do when you grow up? The correct answer would be a policeman, a fireman, a lawyer, a doctor, whatever. We're asking the child, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the answer to that question hopefully will be, I'd like to be a sensitive person, a caring person, a giving person, a person who inspires others, a person who teaches others. That's what you want to be when you grow up. I once heard on a beautiful tape, and I don't recall the speaker, that we are not called human doings, we are called human beings. Life is about being, life is not about doing. The inner circle allows me to touch into who I am as a person of being. But we can take this one step further. He quotes a beautiful story that happened to him, which is a wonderful model of the next step. The author speaks about how he was driving on Erev Shabbos to the mountains, and he got a flat tire on the George Washington Bridge. He's about to pull over on the bridge when he hears a police officer behind him saying, do not stop, pull to the end of the bridge, and then pull over. So he drags his car to the end of the bridge, pulls over, and he sees that there's a car that also had stopped at the end of the bridge. Gets out of his car, and he goes to his trunk to start changing his tire, and the guy in the car ahead of him who stopped comes over and says, can I help you? He said, no, I'm okay. And he tries to take out his jack, and the jack breaks. So the guy immediately runs over with his own jack, and in a jiffy, changes his tire. So he offers, he says, well, can I help you now? So the man said, no, I don't have trouble with my car. So he asked him, well, why did you pull over if you didn't have trouble with your car? He says, I'll tell you. He said, someone did me a great favor this week, and I was looking for an opportunity that I could pay someone else back a great favor. When I saw you had car trouble, I pulled over so I'd be able to do you a great favor, and in that way I was repaying the great favor that was done to me. Such a beautiful story, because it really is the model for life. If these are people, these people of our inner circle that have contributed so much to us, the key now is to take that which makes us so special, these attributes, and give to others. Then, quoting from the book, he says, the more I began to understand their gifts and the warm positive feelings they created within me, the more I was able to understand what enabled me to give to others in my profession as a family and marital therapist, as well as my own life as a husband and father. These memories evoked a genuinely warm, giving, and deeply human side of my personality. He said, I could even use these memories in my tefillos to attain a greater sense of kavana and deeper understanding of my tefillos. And I think the second question we need to ask ourselves is look at our own lives and see, well, who are we in the inner circle of others? Who do we touch, a spouse, children, other people, that they would include us in their inner circle, and ask ourselves, what are those gifts that are within me that they would point to as being those precious moments for their inner circle that affects them? And I think during these times of meditation, if we're able to answer both of these questions, what is my inner circle? Can I bring out what are those special moments? And these special moments anchor a person so deeply in life. If we're able to take these moments so then we can use it in so many ways, where if we're in a tense situation, we can go back to these islands of serenity. But if we're able to take, going back to our topic, these inner circle people to help define who I am, what makes me unique of who I am, and then to take it the next step and say, well, what am I giving to others? What are the qualities within me that I am touching in others? So then we have a sense, in almost a mirror way, of what is it that makes me me, and how can I develop these aspects of self? How can I allow these aspects of self to flower and to help myself and other people? Am I really utilizing that which was given to me? Am I giving to others in the ways that I should be? This is the Vihinasu Pischei Olam, the uplifting of the gates of the world, the gates of our soul, which is our world outlook, who we are, and each and every one of us is a world. That's the entering, the uplifting of those gates, of getting a sense of the core self, putting aside our profession, putting aside our family, putting aside all those masks that perhaps we hide behind, and getting to the core issue of self. And therefore, I think in summary, this verse of Se'ush Arim Roshechem V'Nasu Pischei Olam is the model of Elul. The gates of the head is a focus on Amuna, bringing God into our lives at all time, Amuna Chushi, prayer, talking to God all day, looking at the world and seeing God in nature. And the Nasu Pischei Olam, openings of the world, is to focus on ourselves, on being alone, on being unique, creating this inner circle, creating what makes us so special. And then ultimately what we have is the Ani L'Dodi, I am to my beloved, the knowledge of God. I know what my beloved is all about. But simultaneously we have the Dodi Li, and my beloved is to me, and I know who I am all about, that I can open up a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that I can allow God into my life because I know who He is. So we're able to walk into Rosh Hashanah, the Yavo Melech HaKavod, that the King of Glory can enter into our lives. We'll be able to have a relationship of knowledge of God and knowledge of self.